Hi, grannies. Welcome to another episode of Elderly Millennial,
the Bobble Clubhouse podcast for people who love knitting, crocheting, and basically all things crafting. I'm your host, avid knitter, crocheter, and binge watcher, Samantha Brunson. Today on the podcast, we have Jessica Culligan, an amazing knitter and member of the Coco Knits team.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining me this week.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Just so everybody knows, can you tell us a little bit about where you work and what's your craft?
Sure. So I work at Coco Knits. I'm a big fan of Coco Knits, so I'm extra excited to be part of the team.
So am I. I'm so obsessed with you guys. I was trying not to fangirl the last time we talked because my nerdy knitter side was coming out. I'm obsessed with your products.
Yay!
I know. So good.
It's just so fun to see all the things that Julie kind of cooks up, you know. Mm-hmm. Coco Knits is, founded and run by Julie Weisenberger, and I'm kind of her second in command. Mm-hmm. And I am an avid knitter, and also kind of a serial crafter in terms of
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Aren't we all? It's a problem. Or really, maybe it's not.
Yeah, I think it seems to be kind of a generational thing too. You know, I think more millennials are just obsessed with learning all different kinds of crafts and being crafty in kind of all areas of their life.
Yeah. I find it really interesting because I think I said this last week, but a lot of yarn shops, I'm realizing, don't really cater to this new kind of group. It's kind of uncharted territory for them, mm-hmm. that the millennials are getting into crafting and knitting and all of these things that were traditionally thought of as an older person pastime. Totally. But I find it really soothing.
Me too. Last week you were talking about how you got into weaving, I think, in school, you were saying.
Right, yeah.
And it's the same kind of Zen thing. And I totally get that. I learned to weave a couple years ago, and then kind of now I have something just on my loom hanging out there.
That's amazing. Do you have a tabletop loom or
I have a frame loom, and I have a tabletop rigid heddle loom. And then I have a small hand loom thing that you can make bookmarks on or something.
Nice.
And then I also have things to spin yarn, although I really stink at that. So I haven't kind of gotten into it as much as just started some of it and been I'll have to figure this out later.
Yeah. I've really wanted to attempt spinning yarn. It just seems as though it would be the final step in the process. You could see something go completely full circle from making the yarn and then using it and then wearing it. It would just be the ultimate last step.
Yeah, you'd be the full supply chain.
It's only a matter of time. So when did you start knitting?
I started knitting in high school.
Okay.
So almost 15 years ago, I was in high school starting knitting, and my mom started a knitting shop called The Village Sheep.
Oh, where was that?
It was in Connecticut, where I'm from, originally. It's, do you like Gilmore Girls?
Yes.
Okay. Girls, Gilmore Girls is inspired, by my town.
Oh, so, I always feel because the town where I grew up is Rutherford, New Jersey. and it is straight up Stars Hollow. So I can totally relate.
Yeah, I guess so like the creator of Gilmore Girls like went for like a long weekend to Washington Depot, which is like right next to New Milford, Connecticut, which is where I'm from. And so she was like, "Oh my gosh, Washington Depot is so cute." And then she like went over to New Milford and we have like a big green and a big gazebo and like cute shops around it. And she was like, "Oh my God, this needs to be like the town in my show."
Okay, so I'm gonna have to plan a road trip.
Yeah,
I'm sure
definitely.
they probably have a road trip for Gilmore Girl enthusiasts. I'm sure that that's already a thing, actually.
Probably. Well, they have a convention in Washington Depot as well for Gilmore Girls.
No,
Yeah, I haven't been just because I think that it like falls either like on Rhinebeck weekend or like close to Rhinebeck Sheep and Wool. So it's always like I'm too crazed with that to like focus on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, Rhinebeck is in 2 weeks. Is that 2 weeks of October? Okay, so are you guys going to Rhinebeck or?
Yes, we are going to have a table at Rhinebeck with Merritt Bookstore.
Okay. And just that people know, Rhinebeck is a how would you describe it?
it's a, I guess, an like fiber arts convention.
Yeah, I heard someone call it the Woodstock of yarn the
Basically, it's
other
like everyone wears like every piece of knitting that they're most proud of and like run around like maniacs, just like being super passionate and like intense about everything that's happening. And it's really, really fun.
Yeah, it's the place to be if you're obsessed with yarn and knitting and all things crafting. Yeah, okay, so that's awesome. I didn't know you guys were gonna have a table there.
Yeah, it's gonna be our first year there, and I'm super excited about it because I've gone as kind of like a just a knitter before, and so to kind of be there with Cocoa Knits is gonna be a fun new experience.
Yeah, that's exciting. Sorry, I cut you off before. So your mom had the yarn shop.
Yeah, so she was like the manager of the yarn shop. She did all the buying. And like taught the classes and stuff like that. It was just a really cozy place, and I think I had like just started driving, so basically like after school I would just go like hang out at the yarn shop with her, and she taught me how to knit. And so I'd like sit around with all the like retired ladies who like were like cute like New Yorkers who like had their retirement homes in Connecticut and like like knitting cashmere or something. Yeah, so my first project that like, because I was like, okay, I don't want to just like practice knitting. I want to like make something for my first project. She's like, okay, that's fine. And I made a scarf naturally.
Yeah, I think
And
that's a lot of people's first projects. I'm sure that was my first project.
yeah. So I knit this scarf and I was so frustrated because it was green, kind of like speckled, like really like bulky yarn because I wanted to just like have kind of like chunky thing I can like knit quickly.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to start with
Yeah, because it's like
the
instant gratification rather than
yarn.
like knitting something small and useless that you like just making a swatch to practice. But so I got really frustrated with it because I was like, why is this so tight? I feel like getting my needles into each stitch, like it's so hard. I was getting really frustrated, and by the end of it, my mom kind of like checked back in with me and she's like, you twisted every stitch.
No.
She's like, that's why it was so hard. So my whole scarf was just like this big spiral. Yeah, I it was yeah, it was ugly. It was horrible.
Good. You know, you stuck with it. Most people just give up after the first thing because it's just so much harder than they were expecting it to be.
It was nice too because I then understood kind of because I did it all wrong. I was like, oh, so when I'm knitting it this way, it's twisted. When I'm knitting it the other way, it's like much easier to get my needle in there. And
Yeah, I'm sure the
like,
second time was a lot easier because you
definitely,
probably
definitely.
felt drastically easier.
Yeah. It was nice to kind of have that, painful lesson to then understand more about knitting much quickly, like quickly than I think I would have.
Yeah, it's so funny how like really knitting is just a series of knots and twists and
Yeah.
somehow it creates a garment.
Yeah, I think that when I learned about short rows, it like blew my mind. I was like, wait, I can make more shapes and do more things with just two stitches? Like, this
Yeah.
is crazy.
Oh, your inner knitting nerd is showing. Oh man. So what's your favorite project that you've ever made?
Ooh,
Or the I should say, what's like the most satisfying project that you've ever fi finished? I don't know if those two would be the same.
okay.
Because sometimes there's a pro you know, a project that you really struggle with, and then you finally finish it, and it just feels so satisfying to look back and say, I did this. And then there are other things that are just really easy to do, and then they just come out really well. But so what's your most the most satisfying project you've ever made?
Okay, most satisfying. I think actually, a recent project. I knit the lace mystery shawl that Romy designed for Stitches West this past February.
Okay.
So basically what she did was so like I guess for people who don't know, like I Romy is a woman who designs these like beautiful lace patterns, and so she partnered with a Verb for Keeping Warm, which is a knitting shop in Oakland, California, and they also sell fabric. They make their own yarn. They naturally dye stuff. It's like they make the most beautiful stuff. I'm like completely obsessed with everything that they put out. And so they partnered with her and or with that shop. So Verb, they dyed yarn and put it in cute little project bags. And Romy, made the pattern for that yarn and put it in the little project bag. And so you go and you just like buy this bag, and then you're like, cool, I don't know what I'm gonna make. And
Oh,
then
that's so cool.
yeah, so she kind of like released like the full pattern in pieces throughout the course of a month.
Oh,
And
wow.
yeah, and like so I'd never done anything like that. Like I know people do a lot of like the Stephen West mystery shawls and things like that, but I had never done it because I feel like I like to know what I'm getting into, So I basically knit this shawl, blind going into it. And it was super complicated and like but like not undoable, but there were like I think like five different lace charts and two different colors and it's a big triangle, so there were different kind of moving pieces, and then by the end of it I was like, oh my God, this is gorgeous, like I made this.
Where did this come from?
Yeah. It was really, really cool. And it's made out of floating, which is this like silk cashmere alpaca blend or something. So it's like the softest, most delicious yarn.
Ooh, sounds amazing.
Yeah, so I am really excited that it's fall now because I finished it over the summer and was like, okay, well, it's too hot to wear this right now.
I was just talking to someone about this. Do you enjoy knitting over the summer? Because I always do, but they were so surprised that I was knitting over the summer. They wait until fall to do it. Which one do you prefer? Or,
I love knitting year round. I
yeah.
really do. I mean, I think that my projects change for sure. In the summer I do knit a lot more lace.
Okay.
Because it's, thin yarn. It just feels lighter. Like I'm not gonna knit like a big heavy sweater out of wool or something in the summer.
Yeah, that's what I do. In the summer, I get all of my like fall and winter chunky knits together, and then I'm ready. And then I just have to sit on them until, well, it's been so warm in New York until probably November now,
Yeah.
but I'm a weirdo.
So you like sit next to the air conditioning and do this, or are you like out in Central Park?
Yeah, well, both. But sometimes
Oh my God.
I know. Sometimes I will literally sit in a room with air conditioning on with a blanket
Wow.
and nip fall stuff.
Wow. That's intense.
It's real weird, but I don't know. I really enjoy being cozy. So even if I
Yeah.
have the air conditioning on, I'll find a way to grab a blanket and just bundle up.
I kind of get that. I
That's
love
weird.
being cozy. Like when I found out about hygge, have you heard of this? Okay, so like the whatever it is, like the art of being comfortable and with friends or something. I was like, yeah, this is my spirit animal. Like if everything could be knitted socks and like throw pillows and a candle, I'm in.
That's how I feel. I know it's really weird, but I enjoy that
Yeah.
feeling. And it has nothing to do with being too cold or anything like that. It's about feeling cozy.
Yeah, no, when you put it in that context, that makes much more sense to me for sure.
Otherwise, it just sounds insane.
Yeah, a little bit. Sweltering in New York City. I really want to knit a wool blanket.
It's okay. You can say it. I know it's weird, but it's okay. Oh man. So how did you get involved with Coco Knits? How did you find out about them, or how did you decide you wanted to work with them?
Well, I worked in book publishing for several years,
Okay.
and while I was working with the I worked at several publishers, but when I worked with my last one, which was Abrams Books, yeah, they do a lot of knitting books and craft books and
Yeah,
stuff. And
it sounds
so when
really
I,
familiar.
yeah, they do well, they actually did a book with a verb for keeping warm, like the owner of that store called Modern Natural Dyer.
Okay.
And it's a really beautiful book. So they've done a lot of other books. They've done the books with Amy Herzog, who designs sweaters.
Yeah.
And they've done a bunch of them. So when I first started working there, Melanie Fallick worked there. And she's kind of like running that craft division. And Melanie Fallick, she has kind of like been involved with knitting books and, different creative people in the knitting community like forever. She's
Okay.
like she's kind of like the person behind all of these like well-known people that we know.
Okay.
And she works with like Mason Dixon on their like booklets that they come out with now.
Love Mason.
And yeah. So anyway, so I kind of, became close with Melanie because we are both knitters and I was like trying not to just like fangirl at her like every day in the office. So
I would have failed miserably.
yeah. I mean, I definitely had her sign some books for my mom. Like
Nice.
I failed a little bit, but anyway, so then kind of later on, I got my MBA recently, my master's in business administration. And
Congratulations.
thank you. And so that whole process was really fun and inspiring. And while I was going through that, I talked to Melanie because I really wanted to start working with creative women to help them grow their companies. Because I like, so my background is in supply chain management. I do kind of operations and logistics like throughout my career. I've worked, anywhere in the process of like getting a book out, I would be kind of the one dealing with like the printers and then the editors and the designers and photographers and doing
Okay.
basically just like making sure the thing actually became a physical product.
Right.
And so I felt like all these really awesome creative women were starting companies or doing something where they maybe needed some help with the actual operations and logistics side of it.
Right.
Because it's hard to know what you don't know.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and so it's like I'm passionate about, what all these women are doing, and I'd love to be able to like help and use my skills. So I talked to Melanie and she said, well, I know some creative women who are doing some cool things. Why don't I put you in touch and you can just kind of, among yourselves, figure out if you can help them. So I ended up working with Julie at Coconuts, as just a freelancer, helping her coordinate some of her shipments and like inventory things. And then I worked with a couple other women to kind of, see how I could help on some of their projects. And of course, I'm doing this while I'm working full time, going to school basically full time. And,
Wow.
I was like, I'm an insane person. Why am I, like filling my days with everything? So I don't have any time to knit. Like, what's wrong with me? But it was really fun and really inspiring. And then, and then I was looking to leave New York City and I was talking to Julie. And basically she was like, oh, well, I would love to hire you full time because I need a ton of help. Basically at the time she was just realizing that she like had a company where she needed to get help. Like she basically grew this company over the last 10 years all herself.
I was about to say, so it was just her working there?
Yeah, she had like two people who were helping her on a freelance capacity. With some of like the like website stuff and packaging design, and then I think the other person was kind of helping her just like with the overflow of what she needed to do. But then she started like talking to someone and they were like, no, you have a real company, like you need to like hire full-time employees.
That's so impressive.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think it really speaks to the fact that like often women are thinking that they need to do everything themselves. And
Guilty.
I know, I'm so guilty of it. And
I'm
it's like,
listening to you
no.
talk about this, and I'm just cutting a little too close to home.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so nice to then like kind of put out into the, community or out into the universe, just like, hey, actually, I might need help and I want the right person to help. And then to see kind of the flood of support you get is like can be really nice. So when you're ready for that, you should put it out there.
Therapy. Unexpected therapy session.
Yeah, sorry. That tends to happen with my conversations.
It's good. It's good. Hopefully someone else is out there is listening and having the same moment I'm having.
Hi, grannies. If you live in the New York City area and you're looking for something to do after work that involves Lifetime movies, reality TV shows, knitting, and meeting other grannies like yourself, then you should join the Bauble Clubhouse. Bauble Clubhouse hosts at least one event every month where people from all over the city get together to try out new techniques, products, and yarns while binge watching our favorite shows. You can go to the Bauble Clubhouse website to see a list of our upcoming events. I hope to see you there. Bye.
So, I mean, I'm sure everyone who's listening is super familiar with the products that you guys create. If you're passionate about knitting or crocheting, even, I'm sure you know about you guys. But can you tell everyone just a little bit about the products that you guys produce? And yeah.
So we make tools for creative people. Mostly knitters, because Julie is a knitter. She's a knitwear designer. She's written a book with her method for top-down seamless sweaters called the, coconut sweater method. And
Which is
so
amazing, by the way.
I love it. It's my favorite way to knit sweaters. It really is. I think I've knit three in the last year, which is the most. I basically doubled how many sweaters I've knit. But our products, other than the knitwear designs, are really to be beautiful tools to help you make things. So Julie's kind of approach to it is, so many crafts and trades have these tools that people really value. Like people who woodwork, they have like really beautiful tools that they care for, that they invest in, that they, just love to use, that like adds to the kind of tactile experience of their craft. And she felt like in the knitting world and the crochet world and even sewing to a certain extent, there weren't really nice tools.
Absolutely.
And definitely not innovative tools.
Right.
And she felt, a little feminist rage, about the fact that like, we were still using like pink tapestry needles or like darning needles that like some men had come up with in like the 50s. So basically we make tools that, like we make tapestry needles or cable needles or, a stitch fixer, crochet hook kind of thing. Or more things that are a bit universal. Like we have the mesh bag that's like a really nice travel yarn bowl is the way that I think of it. And we have the maker's keep,
So
which
obsessed.
I know it's like my favorite thing.
Oh, it's so genius. It's so genius.
So then we make everything to stick to the magnet on the maker's keep. So our bamboo cable needles have the metal piece on it so that they stick. All of our stitch markers are made to stick to magnets, and just like everything so that you can even take your maker's keep and run it over through your couch cushions to find your stitch markers you dropped in there, which I'm definitely guilty of.
Me too. I can't even tell you how it's probably super dangerous to sit on anything I have because I've left a pin here or there, or like,
You're gonna get hit with a double point somewhere.
Oh, but not anymore. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, and I love it that I get to kind of like play with all these tools, and she keeps coming up with more and more ideas. Like we have the triangle stitch markers that just came out, which I just love.
They're so
And and the tin that they come in is so cute.
adorable. It's all so adorable. I can't stand it.
And then we have some other really fun things coming out later this fall and in January. She's just so full of ideas. It's really inspiring to work with her.
Yeah, you can tell that before I even knew anything about you guys, I could tell that your products were made by someone that was really passionate about what they do because it was just things that you wouldn't think of. But then as soon as you see them, you're just like, oh, why didn't anyone think of this before? It's so
Yeah.
good, you know?
That's how I felt about the first time I saw the leather cord and needle kit. I was like, oh my God, this, I didn't know I needed this, but I need
But
it.
now I know, now that I know it's out there, it's
Yeah. And
just.
it's beautiful. I mean, first of all, it comes in like a little like drawer box, which is like so cute, but the leather cord just screws right into the interior threaded needle. So you can slip your stitches on, knit right off of it when you're ready. It holds them securely. I love it.
What's your favorite product? Like, do you what products do you use the most in your knitting practice?
I think that, I mean, other than the stitch markers, which I use all of them, like sometimes I will use all of them in one project, even, like all the different kinds. But I think that I use the Maker's Keep with the row counter every project. It makes my life so much easier. I was listening to your first episode of the podcast and I was like, okay, I'm gonna like listen to this and I'm gonna fix this cable. I had done like, forgotten to do a repeat kind of thing, and then it was gonna throw off all the other cable repeats. And so it was the first time I ever like unknit something just that section. So I like re-knit from the middle, to do the cable again while I left all the other rows intact.
Yeah, that's always
And
terrible.
that, yeah. And so like I felt like because I was listening to like, you and Jen talk about knitting, I was like, okay, I can just be calm. It's fine. I'm gonna be able to do this. I was successful. It's all fixed.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was very good. So I am working on that, and then I'm knitting a baby blanket that is like the like washcloths that you would knit diagonally. Okay, so I'm doing that, but just baby blanket size.
Nice.
Yeah, and then oh, I'm knitting fingerless mitts that are a pattern from and yarn from Brew City Knits or Brew City Yarns, which is I think in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it's there. I think they came out with these kits that are like Harry Potter theme colors. So I'm doing the
What?
Gryffindor one. Yeah, it's so
Nice. Oh, I have to look
cute.
into that.
Yeah, I got it. I got the kit when I was in Chicago over the summer, and yeah, I love it. Oh my
I have
God.
to look into that because I think they're doing a Harry Potter like pop-up bar in New York right now.
Oh my gosh, really? Oh no. I need to go back to New York right now. So then the last thing on my needles is I am knitting my first ever circle shawl. I'm making Girasole by Jared Flood. So it's like a big lacy circle that I'm knitting from the center out.
Okay,
And
fun.
yeah, I think it's supposed to look like a sunflower, but
Nice. I've
I
never
haven't
tried
gotten
a
to
circle.
anything
I
that looks like
just
a
did
sunflower.
my first shawl a couple weeks ago, but I've never done a circle shawl before. So that's definitely on my list of things I want to attempt to do.
Yeah, I love there's a book called Knitting from the Center Out, and that is like one of my favorite books. Everything is, circular and knit from the center out, but it has like I've knit an octopus stuffed animal. I've knit one of the circle shawls in there, but like I made it a blanket. And yeah, it's just I love all the patterns in there.
Ooh, that sounds really fun. I'll have to get that.
Yeah.
Sounds very helpful. So lastly, what do you we kind of talked about Gilmore Girls, but what do you like to binge watch or listen to while you craft?
Oof. I love binge listening or watching like everything. I am an avid consumer of television, podcasts, audiobooks, like everything.
Same.
To the point where like my sister and I actually we recently started like our own little project where so we started a website called bucketofawesome.com.
Ooh.
And we are just keeping track of like things that we love to consume. So like any story that we think is awesome, no matter what kind of form it takes, we post about it.
Oh,
So
that's amazing. It's called bucketofawesome.com.
yes.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's fun. Like we haven't like started promoting it or anything like that because we're just kind of playing around with it. But definitely, I mean, you guys can, anybody can check it out. It's there. It's fun. But yeah, I think that I basically always have something that I'm binging. Right now I'm re-listening to A Discovery of Witches.
What is that? Is that a it's a podcast?
It's an audiobook. Well, it's a book, but I'm listening to the
Okay.
audiobook. And the I think Sky Network just started the television show, which I haven't seen yet because it's only showing in the UK at the moment.
Okay.
But the book is a trilogy, and then the author is like also writing some other books in that same kind of the same characters, but just like not part of the original trilogy. And it's really fun. It's fantasy, but it has a very like kind of cozy New England-y witch vibe. And
Nice.
yeah, it's like a really fun series. But yeah, I think that this is probably like, I don't know, my fourth time listening to it. Like it's just, I keep going back to it. It's really fun.
Sometimes I think when you've listened to something before or watched something already, it's easier to watch it while you knit because you don't really have to pay too close attention to it. You can do a
Yeah.
more complicated knitting pattern and you're still, getting that distraction. So
Definitely.
I totally understand. Well, thank you, Jessica, for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited about your podcast. I feel like the first episode was really fun to listen to. So, I can't wait to, hear all the other ones.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It was awesome talking with you.
Yeah, so much fun. Thank you again.
All right. Bye, Jessica.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Elderly Millennial, the Bauble Clubhouse podcast. And if you live in the New York City area, don't forget to go to our website to see a list of our upcoming knitting, crochet, and crafting events. Until next week, happy knitting.